We've read the resurrection, crucifixion, and resurrection story. These stories that we read in the Bible, they're not myths that have been created by some clever fishermen. They're actually historical facts. In fact, anybody who would actually dig into it, and some people actually have, trying to disprove the resurrection, actually came to a place where they believed in it, because they actually digged into the facts. We live in a day and age in which we don't do much digging. We go to Google, we type something in, we read the first page, and that becomes our truth. That's the day and age in which we live in. But anybody who would look out or seek out the resurrection of Jesus, they would know that there was a man who lived on this planet Earth named Jesus. He was crucified by Romans. He was placed in a tomb and sealed. And they would also admit that the tomb was empty on the first day of the week. And they would also have to admit that there were many eyewitnesses who saw Jesus alive. You see, the historicity of Jesus is not a debatable fact. It's a truth. Jesus is alive. The question is, what does it mean? What's the reason and purpose behind all of that? This is a great story, but does it have any effect on me? And that's where we come to God's Word, because the Word of God tells us the purpose, the meaning, the what behind the resurrection. And for a few moments this morning, that's where I want to take your heart and mind. For you not just to get excited that Jesus is alive, you know, in the sense historically that happened, wow, that's amazing. But for you to know why and what happened and what does that mean that Jesus is alive. So let me pray and then we'll look at this verse for a moment. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you for what already we have seen and heard. How our hearts and our minds have already been affected by truth that has been sung and spoken. And Father, we rejoice. We sing together that Jesus is alive. We sing because he lives, I can face tomorrow. We sing victory in Jesus, an amazing grace. All these truths because Jesus is alive. And Father, I hope and pray that our hearts would be settled this morning. Settled on the great what or the why behind the resurrection. For us personally, for us as a church, to know that we have a living hope. Father, may that give us peace in the days ahead. And that may that also affect our vision that we are looking for the coming of Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter Chapter 1, let me read to you verses 3 through 5. Would you say, well, this is an interesting place to go on resurrection morning? But notice this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There it is. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are being kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. There's so many truths about the resurrection all throughout Scripture. You want to do a good Bible study, you go and find all the places that talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not just in the Gospels, but go to Acts and go to Romans and 1 Corinthians. It's a wonder and it's a beauty, the truth of the resurrection. It's like a flower that's just beginning to open. Do you actually look at flowers? You know, I know they provide some color and some beauty, and the forerunners of spring are beginning to open up, right? The daffodils and the tulips. And you're seeing them outside, but have you really looked at them? How many petals does a tulip have? What's on the inside? Have you seen the strains of color? What about the daffodil? Could you describe it to me in detail? You see, these flowers, a lot of times we just run past. And sometimes it is true of the resurrection as well. We just run past it. Jesus is alive. That's great. I'm going to heaven. But there's so much more. In fact, some of them, and I'll start your Bible study for you here. In Acts chapter 5, verses 30 and 31, we find that we have repentance through the resurrection of Jesus, which says this: the God of our fathers raised up Jesus. And he's talking to the Jews, whom you murdered by hanging on the tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be the Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And not just to Israel, but to the whole world. Repentance is available because Jesus arose from the dead. I hope you know 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's a great chapter, right? It's got a great ending. But in the middle of the chapter, it talks about, well, what if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? What if he didn't actually? And then you get to this place where you realize then we're just pitiful people, because we're placing our hope in something that never happened. But Paul doesn't end there, does he? He says, but Christ has risen from the dead. Because he has risen from the dead, we can find forgiveness. Because he has risen from the dead, now he is interceding before God for us. Romans chapter 8, verses 34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. One of the great benefits of the resurrection is now we have a Savior who is before the throne of God interceding for us. When Satan comes and tries to level us and accuse us, there is our Savior, Jesus Christ, who intercedes on our behalf, who intercedes his own blood. We have personal fellowship with Jesus because of the resurrection. We have justification because of the resurrection, and death no longer has a grip on us because of the resurrection. We're a people that no longer fear death because of the resurrection, because we know that because Jesus is alive, we will live as well. We have been united with Christ if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and death, it doesn't have the victory anymore. That's gone. Well, these are some different things that you will find throughout the Word of God as you study the resurrection and what it means. But this morning, I just want to go right here to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Just this one verse, and focus in on this living hope that we have. But first, let me say, in the start of the verse, it says, blessed be God and Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed has the idea of praise. Praise to God. Praise to God, praise to our Father for what he has done for us. Listen, if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you something devastating this morning. This is going to hurt your feelings. I'm sorry. It's a holiday, I know. It's supposed to be fun and exciting. This is going to hurt your feelings, though. There's really nothing special about you. I know. Sorry. Well, I'll tell you, the same is true about me. There's really nothing special about me. There's no reason why God should look on us and save us. He saved us because of his glory, for his praise, that we would turn to him and praise him for our salvation. Hey, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, this day that you're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus should all be about you praising Jesus. All about you praising God. He's the one that deserves the praise. Why? Because, notice, as it goes on, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. It's through his abundant mercy that we have life. When we begin to realize who we are and what we deserve, we realize that that mercy was not just plain ordinary mercy, but it was an extravagant, abundant mercy. Do you know what we deserve? See, mercy is not giving us what we deserve. You see, when the child does something wrong and the parent says, I'm going to give you a punishment, and then the parent decides, you know what, I'm not going to give you a punishment. That's mercy, because the child deserves it. When you do something wrong at work, you've done another violation at work, and the boss says, you're going to get fired. and the HR department comes to you and says, you know what, we're not going to fire you. We could. This is what you deserve, but we're going to have mercy on you. Well, us, what we deserve because of our own sins, the Bible says we're all sinners. And Romans 6:23 says there is a payment for our sin. There's wages for our sin. There is a sentence upon us because of our sins. And that sentence is eternal separation from God. In a real horrible place of torment called hell. But God in his mercy, this wondrous, abundant mercy, turned to us and provided us a way of escape. He provided us a way for our sins to be forgiven through Jesus Christ. This abundant mercy, this is why God gets praise, because of his abundant mercy, who has begotten us again, or who has born us again. You see that word right there, begotten? I know that's not a word we use very much. Hey, my tulips are begotten again. What are you talking about? Okay. The same word in the Greek is in verse 23 where it says, having been born again. Born again. This is what he has done for us. He has given us a new life. He has given us life itself. You see, without God, we are dead. Without God, we are dead. And I know you put your hands on your pulse and say, well, Pastor, I don't know. I mean, it's a little weak this morning, but I think I'm still alive. Well, if you've been around the Bible or church at all, you know that it's not talking about physical life. Because you know, it's one thing to be alive, and it's another thing to be alive. Right? It's one thing to live, and then there's another thing to be living. And there's a lot of people who are breathing and eating and sleeping and making money and driving their cars, and they're alive, but inside they're dead. They have no hope. They have no peace. And folks, I don't know any greater demonstration of people being fearful and having no peace than COVID. We saw a world that was afraid of dying. We saw a world that was fearful. There was no peace in this world because there was no hope. There was no certainty outside of God. See, without God, we are dead. But if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have a new life. And that's the end of John that we read before the 21st chapter. Truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. If John would have written everything, he says later, I suppose the books of the world couldn't contain it all. There is so much more to the story. But we have exactly what we need to believe. Everything's here. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Here comes the great and glorious truth. Is that if you have come to the cross of Calvary and you have understood that Jesus there died for you in your place, took your sins, and if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, confess your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he will forgive you of your sins and he will breathe new life into you. In fact, the Holy Spirit will come and live inside of you, and all of a sudden, a book that seemed old and dusty will come alive. And the truths in here will stir your heart. And there'll be songs that once meant nothing that now mean everything because they talk about your new life. This is the life that we have now because of Jesus Christ, because he is risen from the dead. But it gets better because this is not just any life. Notice what it says continuing on in the passage. He has begotten us again to a living hope. A living hope. Here is the wonder of this life. Now, first of all, when the Bible says hope, you have to understand it's not talking about like, well, you know, I hope we have, I don't know, apple pie for lunch,
okay? Or I hope dinner, I hope the Easter dinner doesn't burn, you know, that kind of thing. Or, you know, like I, whatever, okay? That's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about is a confident expectation. That's hope in the Bible, a confident expectation. This is going to happen, we just don't know when. He has begotten us to this confident expectation. What is this confident expectation? That one day we will be with him. One day we will be raised as Christ was raised. That is what we are looking for. That is our hope. But here is a precious word in front of it, modifying it. It is a living hope. And that means it's not just a hope that brings life. It is a hope that brings life. But even more than that, it is a hope that is sure because God's promises do not fail. It is a living hope, a hope that is alive and guaranteed in contrast to a hope that is dead and gone. I read these verses earlier, but the hope is seen right here. What is our hope? A living hope. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. By the way, if something is reserved in heaven for you, what does that say about you and where you're going to end up? There's something waiting for you in heaven if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That means you're going to get there someday. And verse 5, precious words, you are being kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. This confident expectation, this living hope, is not based on me holding on to God, but God holding on to me. This is the hope that we have, a hope that the world doesn't have. But notice, all of this comes about, why? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We would have no hope and no peace if Jesus was still in the tomb. And that's what we celebrate this morning. We celebrate that we have all these truths that God has promised to us because Jesus is alive. And so I have hope in the midst of hopelessness. I have peace in the midst of turmoil. I have a victory in the face of death. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now this morning, the question comes to you. Because it's your own personal belief. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ yourself. Have you believed this morning? Have you believed that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again? Have you placed your faith in him alone for salvation? That's the only way to have this living hope. That's the only way to have things reserved in heaven for you. Have you? It's not about works. It's not about coming to church on Resurrection Sunday. It's not about putting money in a box. It's not about doing odd jobs around the church building. It's about one thing, your belief in Jesus. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, I can't offer you anything greater. You know, I could say, hey, we're going to do this afterwards. We're going to have this. We're going to have food, whatever. And there's nothing greater I can offer you than this one great promise, this one great gift. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. And that's not a promise from me. That's a promise from God. And it's a promise that's based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Have you believed this morning? If you have, rejoice. Let's pray. Father, we've been encouraged by so many things here this morning. Our hearts are full. What a blessing. What a blessing to sing songs of great truth. Father, what a blessing to witness a baptism. Oh, Father, what a blessing to be in your word. I pray that the truth of the resurrection would be a hope that would stick with us, that we would live our lives in light of it, not fearful of the grave, not fearful of tomorrow, not fearful of what may happen in our country, because
We know we're strangers and pilgrims here looking for a homeland. Let us be a people who are looking for the coming of our risen Savior to take us home, to be with him forever. Father, until then, may we be faithful. May we share the gospel, the good news, with those around us who need it, who have no hope, who are dead and without God. Thank you for saving our souls. Father, my prayer is if there is someone here who has never believed, Father, open up their heart and their mind to the truth that they might believe this morning. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to have Daniel come and lead us in one last song. We're going to sing this again. We sang it before Christ arose. And just once again, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. If you're a visitor here and I haven't met you, please, I'd love to meet you after the service. Just say hi. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming. The Lord bless you. Daniel, please.